Okay, question two, Frank, which is really relating to innovation labs or constructs similar to that that are separate, that are set up different from the core business. So innovation labs that are specifically set up, how do you deal with any legacy issues that these guys could face or have when constructing a dual structure, often imposed or expected? Then the two sub questions of this are, what advice do you offer to flag this sort of issue, legacy ones? And secondly, what would not work? What would be a red line that dooms this dual concept from the start? So have you got either examples, or what would you think from your experience would create some difficulties for innovation labs?
Paul, I would like to reframe legacy. In some instances, certainly it's a legacy. So if you think at established organizations with their zero mistake culture, with a risk averse culture, with KPIs that shape people's behavior, that are clearly governed towards efficiency and stick to the rules, etc., etc. So in this case, certainly it's a legacy. But I would like also to rephrase it as corporate assets. So, I mean, what you find in the core organizations are a lot of assets that deal with technical expertise, with infrastructures from, say, physical labs to scale-up labs, with salespeople that have direct contact to the intended customers. You do have distribution and fulfillment systems, etc., etc. So I think, first of all, it's important to see this not only as a legacy, and not only see that the explorative guys are the hero of the company, to put it that way, but you really need to look at both sides. You really need.
I think you're absolutely right. But you know, one has the issue that a guy jumps on a plane. He's sort of been given a mandate to go out there and to do it differently and to really accelerate a business opportunity. He feels he wants to break free of everything that's related to that company he's coming from. And of course, that has huge dangers. There's huge problems to it. So I chose legacy a little bit more than what you rightly say, is if you recognize that there are huge number of corporate assets that are highly valuable to the innovation lab, then it begins to change it. And I think this is the danger that I want to try to get across to people listening, is that, yes, you have things that could be layered upon you, like you actually said, metrics and the way a company does things, the fact it wants to always have a budget written up in a certain way. These are frustrating, annoying. Some of them you can change. Hopefully you can negotiate. But there are so many aspects that you can recognize that you could reach back into your core business and to really help you leverage your lab. Is there any organization you think that's done a good job of moving away, setting up labs, but making sure those labs are interfacing back quite strongly into their organizations?
Again, I would come back to the Robert Bosch example. I think this is really good practice, because the point is, if you take those big, bold, explorative ideas dealing with new business models and radical digital technologies that completely change the value proposition, etc. This certainly needs to be developed to a certain point outside of the core organization. You mentioned the term antibodies, which I would see as culture, as KPI shaping behavior, as leadership style, which is more managing than leading and envisioning, et cetera, et cetera, all those things. And so it turns out that you really need to grow these explorative ideas to a point where, say, the degrees of freedom, the degrees of risk and the closeness to profitability is in a way that it is basically appropriate for core organization, to use your word, for legacy organization.
And I also think you have to also break down what is the actual, what is the role of the innovation lab? It yes. could well be for very different things. It could be an outpost that is basically looking and exploring very specific technology applications to take them back into the core. It could well be a lab which is saying, well, we're going to be out there experimenting because we need to be separated out because it's rather sort of unique. It could actually challenge our core, so we need to have this separate. So I think your point, we come back to when it comes to legacy, when it comes to assets, you also have to define exactly what the lab is all about.
Exactly. See, and Paul, I think a lot of confusion out there stems from the fact that all these things that you mentioned are titled innovation, when yeah. actually they are outposts, they are ideation hubs, or whatever you'd like to call it. I think if companies would be more clearer that this is really on the, we would say, on the early phase of innovation, and the fuzzy front end, as the experts say.
I think it's so vitally important that if you don't define that very clearly up front, or pretty early on, you're going to get what we're beginning to see, lots of disappointments where a lab gets closed down because it wasn't delivering what the leader thought it should be delivering. And so if you don't get a very clear mandate, a very clear understanding and structure, you can run yourself into a lot of problems if you are in one of those innovation labs. So it's really important, I think, to establish that back with your core group, with your leadership team, to say, well, what is it I'm aiming to do? What scope am I going to have? Because it becomes, what the question at the end, and then we move on to number three here, is though, what's a red line in your opinion? I mean, we already touched on one. If somebody says, well, go and open up a lab in Silicon Valley, we'll see you in 6 months' time, see how you're getting on. That's one quite frightening red line, potentially, much as it sounds exciting. What would you say is a couple of red lines that you could come across and say, these are really going to doom how you do something that could be different, coming back to the dual concept of thinking. Is there anything that comes to mind?
Yeah, definitely. I think you need to acknowledge diversity while at the same time think about how this can be mitigated or integrated, etc. So basically running or having the idea that there are some free radicals out there operating on their own rules with a limited budget, and that at a certain point in time, after 6 months, 12 months, or even 2 years, when the first critical questions about the performance of the innovation labs come up, can be neatly docked together, this will certainly not work. What Ralph and I have worked out, you find that in some of the posts that we put out there, is that basically that means that this explorative unit, the innovation center, the lab, properly defined, I'm fully with you, this is a company that works on the basic paradigm of agility, right? Speed and learning and testing and design thinking, etc. And the core organization is a company built on predictability. So you've got these two poles. And what you need to do in order to avoid the red lines, to put it the other way, is to acknowledge that these are two companies working on two totally different paradigms. And there needs to be some sort of accommodation of transition between those two in order to make it work. In other words, to answer your question directly, if you do not acknowledge this diversity in there, this will never work.
I don't want to go there, but we're talking really creative tension, aren't we, between the
yes.
two ends
yes.
of a pole. But
yes.
if I think we're coming up to the last question in our time that we've got together,